clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us on SST, Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, and on YouTube. Don't forget, if you listen on Spotify, you can also throw up that video. Video's up on Spotify as well. Don't forget, subscribe, review on your podcast app. You know what to do, but joining us today, we have a wonderful guest, first-timer on Subway Sports Talk. You may have seen him on TikTok. You may have seen him on Twitter talking sports, especially New York sports, working for WABC Radio. Mike Dedino, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to it. Let's have fun.
Mike Dedino, you can do Mike underscore Dedino on Twitter, Mike Dedino underscore on TikTok. The TikToks are fantastic. We'll definitely talk about some of that stuff, because one of the coolest things that I think you'd probably agree with is you've been able to spend some time with some of New York's finest athletes over the past couple of years here working with 77 WABC Radio. You know, you were with Kayvon Thibodeau last week, calling Tommy DeVito Danny, and having a good old time. So, but before we get into this whole thing, I want to talk to you about, which is like NFL at large. I want to talk about the contenders. I want to talk about the big dogs. You've been covering New York sports. You've been talking to a bunch of our favorite athletes. What's that been like for you to be able to rub shoulders with these guys and kind of hear these perspectives, you know, firsthand?
Just like different, honestly. Just like a totally, it's just, I'm blessed for it, because not everybody really has the chance to like really experience. Like the first time I remember I went to the Jets, I've been to a lot of games, but like football, I went to my first game this year, and it was the Jets versus the Chiefs. And on Sunday night, and after the game, I had a conversation with Mahomes. It was crazy. Wow. I had a conversation with Mahomes, and that's when it hit me. I was like, this is what I want to do. This is what I love to do. This is it.
And not only that, you're putting out great content over there. You're talking, you're big time. You got some good big takes on the Giants, the Jets, the NFL at large, baseball, basketball, whatever it may be. So we're going to touch on all that stuff, but I had to kind of pick your brain for a second about covering all these guys out here in New York. And probably a good call by you that some of the coolest parts is the visitors who come in when you get some of those big guns out there. So Mike, what I want to do here, I want to just kind of pick your brain. I want to bounce off each other with our, not a strict power ranking of like 1 through 10, but I want to talk about these NFL teams, because it feels like to me, this is one of those years we don't know who the big dogs are. I think we know, we can agree that the Niners are at the top of that totem pole. But after that, it gets really, really bizarre and gets a little bit frisky here. So for starters, can I just ask you about the San Francisco 49ers? Do you think they are by far and away the number one seed if you were doing a power ranking here in the NFL?
All right, we're digging here to some football. So I'm going to dig quickly for Zinn.
There we go.
we'll just do it live. On my thing now. I feel like, honestly, and you said you're a Zinn guy too. We spoke about this.
Quasi. I got the yawns, but we're out here.
Okay. So I think it's easy to talk about football and honestly just throw us in it. You just feel it, and then you just like chill, you move back, you know?
It's a performance enhancer, bro.
It PEDs. Really is. I'm telling PED. You, it really is. It gets the mindset. It's nice. But yes, 49 is the best team in football this year, and I think everybody can agree on that. And I agree with you. After that, that's when it gets really tough, and for that, that's why I think the AFC is really interesting. I think everyone's on San Fran, and I think if you want to go against San Fran, who do you go with? Like, then who do you go with? Who do you think has a chance to be San Fran? Maybe Philly, probably not.
I mean, if we were doing this podcast like 48 hours ago, we would have said the Cowboys look like the best prime
team. I still think they're the only team that have a chance. And that's if I were to take one team and go against the grain and not bet San Fran, just because everybody's on them, that always scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
I would go with Dallas.
I agree. And then
it's a good buy low spot now, honestly. Because like you said 48 hours ago, we would have said so. Now everyone says no, but one bad game in Buffalo when their season was on the line at home.
Also, they were on that sort of streak where it's like, damn, nobody can beat the Cowboys. And like, you're going to fall down to earth at some point, right? Like every team has done it. Even the Niners, who we're talking about by far and away as the number one team in the league right now, they lost 3 in a row at one point this year.
And they were, now they had a few guys out, but they got exposed a little bit in the middle. I think they lost a game at Minnesota. I forget who else they lost. I think Minnesota. Do you remember who else they lost to?
I'm pulling it up right now, so not like going to brag like I knew. It was the Browns, Minnesota, and Cincinnati. Okay. Back to back to back. They scored 17 points 3 weeks in a row, and now it looks like if they score less than 27, it's a bad week for them.
Now, keep in mind, Debo and Trent Williams were out.
Right. Which Debo seems to happen to them every year.
Yeah, so 49 is the best team in the NFL. I think that everybody can agree on, which scares me. And then the only other team, but the only team I could see maybe competing with them is Dallas. And then the AFC is tough.
Yeah,
I have a team that I like. I'm interested to see if we have the same team.
Okay, so I'll tell you right now, and this might, you know, this will definitely give my hand away here. I have a future bet in that I don't have it up when I placed it, but I got it at plus 1700, and I believe it's at like plus 600 right now. So I got it at least like 4 or 5 weeks ago. I have 49ers to beat the Ravens in the Super Bowl as a future. Okay. And I think those are the two best teams in the league right now. However, I think the Ravens are extremely gettable. So to your point of how weird the AFC is, who's to say?
Okay, the Ravens are I don't see Lamar running the table. Now, if there was ever a year, it seems like this could be a good year for him. Obviously, I don't think anyone really likes KC. I think that puts them in a decent spot, but they're probably going to have to play a road game, which is tough. So that I like Miami in the AFC. I'm a Miami guy. I know your argument against them would probably be something along the lines of they haven't beat a good team, which is a fair point. But when you look at their team on paper, they have the recipe to beat anybody. Good coach, good quarterback, difference maker, receiver. A defense that seems like they're playing well. Obviously, the Jets doesn't even count. But Jalen Ramsey's back. Their defense at least seems like it's on the right track. And to me, that could be a team that could run it.
Yeah, and they're weird because they have some injuries on defense right now, but they still keep causing turnovers. They keep continuing to put pressure on people, which kind of is the big ticket, right? But my question here is, like, you're thinking about the AFC. Let's not try to think about ranking them. Let's just try to put them in a category, right? Let's put them in a bubble together. What teams do you would you call great right now? Like, not even like in order, just name the teams in the AFC that you were like, yep, that's a great football team right now.
Nobody.
Nobody. That's what you say. So you don't think even the Dolphins, who are your number one pick in the AFC, would be constituted as a great team?
I think this year's funky, man.
Really funky.
And that's why I think tight end, that's why I think MVP is so tough this year too. And I have a strong opinion on MVP. I'm sure we'll get into it.
Yeah.
There's no team that's great this year, and that's why I think it could be a team this year that comes out of nowhere and somehow gets out of the AFC. And maybe, like, could this be a year when we see a big underdog win it?
Right.
Because it's San Fran, and then I think it's everybody else right now.
Now, when you're talking about a big underdog, is there one team that jumps out to you? Is there a team that in the AFC or NFC you say, yeah, that team may be on a little bit of a downslide right now. They might be banged up right now, but I can see them kind of hitting the playoffs running and making a little splash.
I wish Tank Dell didn't get hurt.
Mm.
Because if he was healthy and Nico Collins was healthy, they could you get the quarterback. Why can't they be the Bengals of 2 years ago? Get the young quarterback, get in, have a good team around him, good young head coach, and you just beat a bunch of average to above average teams. Because who's unbeatable in the AFC? Like, you tell me Houston can't go into Baltimore and win?
Absolutely they could. Yeah, with so CJ Stroud slinging.
It's wide open. It's just wide open.
Now, the team we haven't brought up yet, which I'm happy we haven't, because I very much feel a certain way about this team, and I've spoken about them over the course of this season, is when you look at stuff in a vacuum and you're kind of trying to throw the record out and just thinking about a team and what they're accomplishing week in, week out, I think about the Buffalo Bills as one of the teams in the AFC that is probably one of the best. And currently, obviously, it's recency bias. They just beat the Cowboys. They're not even in the playoffs, but you think, yeah, the Bills can beat anyone in the AFC, and they might just be the best shot to beat the Niners right now as well, which is just a wild thing to say, Mike, because 3 weeks ago, the Bills sucked, and they couldn't get out of their own way. And now we're sitting here saying they're the best contender in the AFC, possibly.
Yeah, they're a better bet than Houston to go. I think I don't know what the exact odds are, but I looked briefly. I think the Bills have like pretty good odds to still win the Super Bowl. Vegas obviously knows. I think what the Bills is tricky is, like you said, they still got to get in. So not only do they have to get in, which is going to be tough because there's a lot of team with 8 wins. The Browns have 9 wins. It's going to be tough for them to get in, and then if they do get in, they're going to have to do it all on the road. So based on their odds from a betting perspective, Vegas knows though, so it's tough with the Bills.
So let me ask you this question: where do you think the Bills rank in Super Bowl odds right now? Like, so just like not exactly their plus X hundred, but where amongst their peers, like top what?
Have better odds. The Ravens have better odds. The Dolphins have better odds. The Chiefs have better odds, and probably that's it. I'd be in Philly, and I would
missing
say
one.
Like right. I guess Dallas does too, right?
That's it. Those are all the teams that have better odds than the Buffalo Bills right now. Like we both said, who are not even in the playoffs if the season ended today.
Yeah, that's which insane. Is telling by Vegas. If they get in, they're going to be a cute team to go on a cute team. Like that's what I'm saying. The AFC's wide open.
Yeah, and they're going to be the team everyone's picking, which is just
crazy. I want to fade that.
I feel like you and I have a synergy with how we look at the gambling stuff too. I always say when we do the picks pod that I want to make one or two picks every week that make me really uncomfortable. That my heart is like, no, 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 no. You cannot pick that. That's stupid. However, it's probably the smart move because you have to just push yourself against the grain as much as possible. And now it's like the Bills are going to be opposite that again. After they've been pro that for a minute.
I'm a big fade the public type of guy.
Yeah.
If the public's all on something, odds are it's not going to happen. And it doesn't matter. It's funny because it doesn't even matter how much football. You could watch football every single day. Bills, you probably watch the Bills and you say they are maybe the best team in the AFC. If you put it in a neutral site, they might be favorites against every team in the AFC. But they, one of those, I bet them last year, they screwed me last year. They're just one of those teams that fails to win the big game. They have the talent, but they failed to win the close game. And that's why they're 8-6 and not in the playoffs right now.
Now, would you bring that down to a Josh Allen? Do you look at the Bills and say, like, a Josh Allen not getting over the hump is their problem? Is it coaching? Is it other personnel groups? What is it for them not getting over the hump?
And that's a good question. I don't think it's Josh Allen. I want to say that Josh Allen is top five quarterback, but until you win the big one, can't really be put in that top five, in my opinion. But he's still young. But he had, you watch him play, and you think he's an all world guy. But he just at the end of some game, he just makes bonehead plays. Whether it's holding the ball too long, trying to make a play out of nothing, and he has these wacky turnovers, and they cost him games. And I think that's something he really needs to work on. And that could be like the difference between him being a really good quarterback and like a great elite quarterback. If he could clean it up at the end of the game. So I think it does fall on him a little bit.
And, you know, when we talk about the trends and we talk about the stats, something else that I always kind of try to look to, and it's hard to predict, and I think that's part of the issue there, is turnovers, right? So in the beginning of the year, Josh Allen was throwing interceptions like it was his job. And then I saw a clip from, I believe it was Nick Wright. I could be wrong by that. I forget who put this clip out there. But basically going through the Super Bowl quarterbacks over the past 5 years, and like all of them were top four in the league in interceptions every year. And that kind of goes back to this point of you need a quarterback who's able to make the smart play and game manage when needed. But if you don't have somebody who's going to push the ball, make big time plays and be that like game changer, that is going to come back to bite you at some point. So that brings me to this question. Did you hear the Cam Newton comments about a game manager versus a game changer?
It's funny because I didn't, and somebody else, one of the Farrell kids, Matt, I was talking on the phone with him before, and he was telling me about it. He said, did you ask me, did you see that clip? And I said, I didn't.
So Cam Newton went off, and I think what he did well.
I try not to listen to much that Cam Newton says. Nothing against the guy.
Let me say this. I saw the quote box and was like, oh, Jesus Christ, here we go again. A former player who's going to now say that what he did was better because what these guys doing is not impressive. He actually, on the full clip, like the 2 or 3 minute clip that I saw, he actually backed it up pretty well. And he was basically just describing the different type of quarterback. And he was saying game managers can be elite at game managing, but there's a different element to a game changer, which was really, it was bad nomenclature, if we're being honest. Like, you needed better terms for it. But he was saying, like, Brock Purdy isn't doing anything extraordinary by himself, whereas Josh Allen is doing things extraordinary by extending plays, running people over, breaking tackles, pushing into the end zone himself, things like that. So he backed it up a little bit better. But when you look at like a Brock Purdy, when things go really awry for San Francisco in the playoffs. Like, how is he going to react to that? Now, granted, I think he's done a great job kind of extending plays, throwing out of the pocket, whatnot. But Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, these are guys who can take a defense in their face and just figure it out. And Josh Allen has that, which is why the interceptions kind of don't bother me until it's the playoffs and he throws one and they lose.
Well, he single-handedly lost them the game against the Jets week one.
Yes, 100%.
He lost them that game flat out. And he just and those are games, like, he has too many of those games. They just laid a total egg against, since I was heavy on them last year, they just laid a total egg in the playoffs against a good team, against a good Cincinnati team. And but to go back to Cam, Cam's right, because, I mean, if Josh Allen doesn't play well, the Bills are screwed. Like, if right. Josh Allen's on the Bills, they're one of the worst teams. If you swap the two, Josh Allen and Purdy, and then that's a whole other argument.
Right, so Purdy always gets thrown under the bus in these conversations, right? Let's talk about MVP. Let's go there now. Let's talk about MVP. You said you had a take on it.
I feel strong about this one.
Let's go. Break it down for me, then.
I'm going to be pissed off if Brock Purdy wins. I'm going to be pissed off if Brock Purdy wins MVP. Pissed off if he wins. He does not deserve to win MVP. What does the MVP mean? That's what it comes down to. What does MVP mean? Most valuable player. He's not nothing against the guy. He's balling. He's a great quarterback. Take that back. He's a very good quarterback, mm-hmm. and he's in the best system in the NFL. And they're just a great team. They have a bunch of players contributing. They have maybe the best scheme in the NFL, maybe the best coach in the NFL, maybe the best running back in the NFL, maybe the best defensive end, maybe the best linebacker, maybe the best left tackle. They have a mm-hmm. lot of maybe best players and maybe the best tight end. They have maybe the best receiver in Devo. Like,
or the best receiving core at minimum, right?
Brock Purdy's not the MVP. He's just not the most valuable player to his team. If there was ever a year to give it to a non-quarterback, because this would be the year to do it, you just have to give it to McCaffrey. He's the most valuable player on the best team in the NFL. Christian McCaffrey should win the MVP. If there was ever a year, he's got 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns right now already.
Yeah, crazy.
If there was ever a year to do it, it would be this year.
So let me ask you this. So now say you had a vote for the MVP and they told you, listen, Mike, you're wasting your vote on a non-quarterback because they're not going to win. So don't waste your vote. Just, you got to pick a quarterback because you know how it works. Who are you picking?
That's not right, though. That's not right.
Just for the argument and for the exercise, if you had to pick a quarterback to win the MVP, is it going to be Purdy now? Is he in the conversation, or are you looking at one of these other guys? And I can read the odds for you if you want.
I know Purdy's a heavy favorite right now, right?
He's minus 200.
Well, that is astonishing. That's baffling. It's insane. That's not right.
It's insane. And then Lamar's second, plus 450.
I looked at
plus 450. Dak Prescott plus 700. McCaffrey plus 1,000, which has gone down.
I think that was 20-1 the other day.
Yeah, he was plus 2,000, plus 1,800, depending where you look. Now Josh Allen's plus 1,200. He was off the map a couple weeks ago. It's nuts. So if you had to pick a quarterback, are you picking Purdy or are you going to somebody else?
I just can't pick Purdy. I don't think he's the most valuable player in the NFL. I can't give him the award. If you have to give it to a quarterback, it depends what happens on the last 3 weeks of the season. If the Bills get in, I'm giving it to Josh Allen. Because he's the most valuable player to his team that's in the playoffs. And I think you give it to right. And I think, you honestly, if Josh Allen could get them back in, win 11 games, go on a run. They've lost. Oh, I'm looking at their schedule now. They've lost. I mean, they should have beat the Jets. That game against the Broncos was super wonky. They lost a tough game against Philly. They lost a lot of tough games. Mm-hmm. They lost to the Patriots. Excuse me. So
I thought I was on mute there. I just let a burp rip. My bad, bro.
If they could somehow sneak in, I think you give it to Josh Allen.
Yeah, so here's the Lamar Jackson argument. If you're going to go with the...
You can give it to him. I don't have a problem with that.
Right, so on the idea of value, right? You were talking about Purdy. If you replace Lamar Jackson onto any team in the NFL right now, there's a level of output that those teams just couldn't reach with, fill in X average quarterback, you want to in the league.
I might disagree with you on that, though.
Okay, so let me just say some of the stats, and then I'll let you cook. Okay. So he has a total for the year right now, 17 touchdowns throwing, 7 interceptions, not gaudy touchdown numbers, but 3,100 passing yards. And then rushing, he has, where's the rushing touchdowns? He has 5 rushing touchdowns, which is not insane. Jalen Hurts has a bunch more than that. So 22 total touchdowns for Lamar Jackson. However, you can argue that.
How many total yards does he have? He's got 31 passing and how many rushing?
740 rushing, which is kind of insane, you know, that he has that much.
Yeah, so he like leads the league in total. He's got more total yards than Purdy, probably.
Probably. So you can argue that the way he plays, he is the most important cog in a top-tier offense, top-2 seed, et cetera. So I think that would be the argument for him, but take over.
I have no problem with that. I agree. I mean, if he's top 3 in yards on the best team, then, like, you give – my argument to what you were saying is if – I just think you have to – if you put Lamar on any random team, you have to build the whole offense around him. So I think – I don't think that – I don't know if that he put – that puts him in the Mahomes – I want to say Allen, but I'm like iffy to say Allen, but that like Mahomes, I mean, who do you put in that elite role at this point? Who's the second best quarterback in the NFL? Assuming Mahomes is the best.
I would probably, Joe Burrow's obviously hurt. So okay. He'd be in consideration, but I would probably put Josh Allen number 2.
Yeah.
I didn't waver. I did a midseason quarterback tiers and I didn't waver from keeping, Burrow in that top 3, even though he was struggling. And I think I might have had Hurts at 3 at the time, but he's been struggling too. Like, he hasn't been cooking. And if you think about the receiving cores and all that stuff, like, Lamar is still playing with a middle tier receiving core. He went from like the 28th best receiving core to like the 14th, which is a huge upgrade, but it's not like he's playing with great receivers. And like, you can argue that the receiving core Mahomes has right now is the receiving core that Lamar had his entire career. Nice. You know what I mean? But obviously, there's a single season award. It's not year over year.
Yeah, and Mark Andrews is out.
So let me make this analogy, and I'll see what you think about this. In other sports, I'll use basketball as an example, because baseball with MVP at this point is like, it doesn't even freaking matter. It's like, who has the best war? Who has the top 3 OPSs? And then we'll debate those guys. Those are the only ones in the argument, right? Which that annoys me. Whatever. With basketball, you often will talk about teams, and I look back to like the Golden State Warriors year where Durant wasn't winning MVPs and Steph Curry wasn't winning MVPs because they were kind of eating into each other's votes, right? So like, that's when Russell Westbrook won his, James Harden got his, et cetera. In football, this doesn't seem to be part of the equation right now, where you were just describing with Brock Purdy, like Christian McCaffrey should be eating into those votes. The fact that Debo is being so good and Ayuk's been so good and Kittle and the O-line, et cetera. So does that idea of like in an NBA setting, people eat into each other's votes, you don't get a blessing or for having good teammates, you actually get penalized for it. That doesn't seem to happen right now in the NFL MVP conversation. Does that make any sense to you?
It does. And I think that's a good point. And I think Lamar could actually sneak. I just don't think Brock Purdy could win it. I don't think he's going to win it. And I don't think he did. I think people will come to like dissent. I think if you're a knowledgeable NFL fan, you don't think Brock Purdy is the most valuable player. It's nothing against the guy. It's nothing against his play. And this is my spin. I want to get into this. 2 years ago, right? Because last year that Purdy got hurt. 2 years ago, who was the quarterback for the 49ers?
Jimmy G.
And where did they go?
Super Bowl.
Well, they 3 years ago at the Super Bowl, they made the Super Bowl. Then 2 years, 3 years ago, they made the Super Bowl with Jimmy G. 2 years ago, they almost made the Super Bowl. They had like a drop in, they beat Green Bay on the road. They beat that when Rodgers was the one seed, they went into Green Bay and won with Jimmy G. And then they almost beat the Rams the year that the Rams won. They should have beat the Rams. They got outplayed, but they should have beat the Rams. They had like a drop interception. And then they lost that game. And now where's Jimmy G?
Backing up Aiden O'Connell.
You're talking about a team that made the Super Bowl, then played in the NFC Championship and was a drop interception away from playing in another Super Bowl, then made the NFC Championship last year, quarterback got hurt, and now is probably going to get, like, that's not the most valuable player. That's just not the most valuable player.
So to bring baseball back into the conversation, you talk about wins above replacement. In the specific instance of San Francisco 49ers quarterback, his wins above replacement is not really that impressive.
It's not.
The replacements for him were winning 13 games.
He does have that going again for him. He has only lost 3 games in his career. So
yeah. And it does suck because it's like the same thing with Jokic and Embiid over the past 2 seasons. It's like, oh, in order to make my case for Jokic, I have to tear down Embiid. In order to make my case for Embiid, I have to tear down Jokic.
Yep.
That's not fair. Both of those players are phenomenal. But with Brock Purdy, it's like, oh, if I want to make my case for Brock Purdy, I have to tear down Lamar's counting stats. I have to tear down Josh Allen's bad losses. I have to tear down Dak Prescott's weak strength of schedule. But in reality, like, all of the players are playing great football.
Yeah.
Right. So we shouldn't have to tear them down, but that's just how the cookie crumbles in the world of sports media.
Yep. These guys get paid a lot of money and dorks like us talk about it. So unfortunately, yeah, just how the business works.
And the McCaffrey thing is really nuts. And what do you think about Brock Purdy in the post-game presser, or it might've been even pre-game actually, if I'm not mistaken, where he was like, no, I'm not the MVP. The MVP is on my team. It's Christian McCaffrey.
And George Kittle said that too. Did you see that clip?
Yeah. So, and somehow his odds got better after he said that. Like, what's going on here?
He's not
going
to win it. I think they're getting all the suckers to take Purdy now.
And I have a feeling too that the Niners, for some reason, want to feed McCaffrey some stats. Like, I happened to be playing against McCaffrey in a fantasy playoff matchup this week, which I lost because I was going against him. Like, bro, there was no reason he needed 6 carries on that final drive to score his third touchdown.
They've done that before. If you remember when he was chasing when he had the consecutive touchdowns, they literally had Darnold in the game and had McCaffrey in the game and were forcing him the ball to get him the touchdown. They want him winning an MVP. They're telling you he's our most valuable player. This guy right here that we refuse to ever take out and we are the best team in the NFL around him, this is our best player.
And he gets the catches, he gets the carries, he gets it all. Like, he really does just do it all for them. And I do think the way the odds are moving right now, by the time the season ends, Mike, I think we're going to look at close to even odds for Purdy, McCaffrey, Lamar, and depending on what the Cowboys and Bills do, Prescott and Allen. I just think Allen is too uphill of a battle based off some of the bad performances this year. You don't think it's going to matter?
No, I think you're probably right. I think Allen's probably out of the conversation unless he gets some. You talked about Lamar's total stats. I don't know. Allen's got 3,500 passing yards, and he's got to have a good amount of running yards too. Let's see if I can find it quick. I should just click his name.
He's got I got it here now. He's got 400 rushing yards.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's got more
11 yards. Rushing touchdowns, by the way.
A guy that's got more touchdowns and yards than Lamar.
Crazy. Yeah, so, but because he lost some of those stupid games, will he get the benefit of the doubt?
I think the last 3 weeks for them are big. If he sneaks in and they sneak in, they're riding at 11-6 with a few bad losses, and he's clearly their most valuable player, he could win it too. But you're right, in 4 weeks – there could be 4 guys, 5 guys right there. Also, like, why not Tyreek? Just because he missed a game against the Jets, he's out of the conversation now?
Yeah, if the offense struggled against the Jets,
that was big for them. That kind of put him out of it, which is unfair, but because it's the Jets, like, that doesn't even count. It's not you're facing the Jets.
It's not even a real team.
No, it's not even a football team right now.
All right, let's move off the MVP conversation. I have another question for you here. True or false? Or I shouldn't say true or false. Let me see this. Crazy or sane? Crazy or sane? The Eagles would have 2 less wins this year if the tush push was not allowed.
Yeah, like, I think that's fair. Probably. It's the biggest cheat code. Even Sirianni was saying that you start every drive first and 9. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an automatic touchdown. Do you know how big it is to convert 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1 and first and at the goal line at the 1 every single time? That's the difference between probably 2, maybe more. That's probably the difference between 2 wins and two difference between 2 wins that would be 2 losses. It could be more.
So let me go through it real quick. 1 score win over the Bills. 1 score win over the Chiefs. 1 score win over the Cowboys. Over the Commanders. Over the Commanders again, over the Patriots in week 1. So what is that? 6 1-score victories? So to me, if the tush push is illegal, yes, they're probably still picking up a handful of those 4th downs on regular QB sneaks or regular runs, etc. So to say that 1 or 2 of those games could have been swung against their favor because they can't use this cheat code that hits at 90%, I don't think that's so crazy. And now I'm curious what's going to happen in the playoffs as they move forward, get more banged up, less fresh every single week. Is the tush push going to continue and still be this cheat code for the Eagles. I'm a little concerned as they start to falter a little bit.
They're in a little bit of trouble. They still got a good team, still got a good coach. The question is, if you remember a few weeks ago after they played the 49ers, Joey Bosa said we put out the blueprint to beat Jalen Hurts, and since then they've actually looked like a different team. Is there sort of a blueprint? Yeah. It's going to if Jalen Hurts is who we thought he was 5 weeks ago, which is a guy at a Super Bowl quarterback that was a player too, a phantom hold away from maybe winning the Super Bowl, and now he's just been exposed, then they're in trouble. But if he's still that elite guy, I think, you know, they'll be fine.
And you could argue he's possibly not fully healthy right now, right? Like every week it's like, oh, his knee's kind of banged up.
I wonder
he's
what
not
he
right.
played through yesterday. I'm interested to know what he played through yesterday, because there's like a bad virus going around. A lot of people have been getting sick. He probably had a bad virus. I mean, you knew he was going to play, but like you said, the knee too. Sure, he's just like an ultra competitor, man. He's banging, no excuse type of guy, so he might be banged up. That could be that's a valid reason why he's regressed a little bit.
And I took his under on rushing yards, which was a fat L.
Yeah, what do you have, like 85 yesterday?
Yeah, I think the over-under was like 38. I was like, you know what, he's banged up. He's not going to run the ball. He's going to throw to A.J. Brown 100 times. And then A.J. Brown had 40 yards, and he had 80 rushing or whatever. I was
all
like,
he did was run.
Yeah, literally, it was the best play they had all game. Was him running the football. But yeah, one more question on the at-large NFL stuff. Another guy who's been a point of contention, very up and down season, hard to kind of put a pin on where he belongs right now, is Trevor Lawrence. You know, he's had some great games. He's had some bad games. The Jaguars look great. They look terrible. They're 8-6. They look like they're going to win the AFC South. However, the Colts have a same record as them right now. So do the Texans, but they have the tiebreak for both of them. What's up with Trevor Lawrence? Are you still in good faith with T-Law, or do you think there's a reason for concern?
He's banged up right now, for sure.
Right.
Is it an injury that – I'm pulling up the standings right now because they're one of those teams that might be in a good spot right now because nobody's talking about them. We haven't even mentioned them, and they're a team that's playing for a bye. They're actually pretty much out of the bye now because they've lost
they're kind of out of it now.
Yeah.
If they beat Baltimore, they would have been in it, but they're kind of
they've lost three in a row. I mean, they've lost three in a row when Lawrence has been banged up. How banged up is Lawrence? Is he going to get back to what he was doing when they were in the bye? If he does, then they're a team that could be a sneaky team to be a run. I think Lawrence is, when you start ranking quarterbacks, it gets tough, but Lawrence, off the top of my head, seems like a top seven, top eight guy if you're building a team for even for 1 year. So I'm not overly concerned with them. I don't know how healthy he is. That's what I'm more concerned with.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I wouldn't hit the panic button on him yet, but it's obviously just a little bit worrisome when you see them struggle to move the ball, right?
Well,
and then obviously, the high ankle sprain, and then also like the horrible clock management, the fumble in the red zone, that game comes down to a few plays and it could have been a lot tighter.
Yeah.
I think we've seen that a lot this year too with the NFL. It's like with NBA, with MLB, if we see crappy games that are close, we call it out and we go, ugh, baseball, what a slog, right? Like, oh, the NBA, man, close game, but like they played no defense. There was five instant replay checkups in the final 2 minutes. What a shitty game. In the NFL, we don't care. We see a crappy game, but it's close, and we're like, wow, what a great day of football. And granted, we've seen some crap football throughout this year, and that probably comes back to the fact that there's not that many surefire great teams. Like we're trying to put together the Super Bowl bubble here, and we're struggling to find more than like three teams that truly belong.
I mean, even if you look at the games that were played Saturday, the first game we went from Joe Burrow and Kirk Cousins to Jake Browning and Nick Mullins. The second game you go for a Gardner Minshew to Mitch Trubisky. Like a lot of guys are out, and a lot of good guys are out, and that's just the nature of football. Who stays healthy at the end of the year? Those are your best four or five teams. It's just like fantasy, right? If you stay healthy in fantasy football, you got a chance. That's the same thing in the NFL. Who's going to be healthy at the end of the year? Because everyone's going to get the injuries. And then we'll pick from those four or five teams. Because the NFL changes faster than any other sport. Like you said, like one basketball game is equivalent to how one baseball game is equivalent to how many football games?
Eight?
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm not doing math right now, but like it has to be like eight, right? Yeah. It's a lot.
Right in that, right under 10.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, well, let's put a pin in the NFL at large stuff, and we'll get to some Giants and Jets stuff quickly here. So let's just try to do this real quick here. I'm going to call out a team, and you're going to tell me if you believe they're in the Super Bowl bubble or not. All right. I'm going to start with the NFC. We both agree that the Niners are in the Super Bowl bubble. So let's go to the Dallas Cowboys. Can you see them being a true contender this season?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. All right. Next one, Detroit Lions. Are they a true contender?
If Dallas is, why not Detroit?
That's fair. Their offense can cook when they're right.
So I'll say yeah on Detroit.
Okay, and then Eagles, I assume you'll say yes to?
I'll say yeah. Those are like the four teams that could potentially make it from the NFC.
I'm going to read off the rest of the teams in the playoff hunt, and you just call out anyone you think might even have a puncher's chance. We got the Buccaneers, Vikings, Rams, Seahawks, Saints, Falcons, Packers. Any team there can even make a splash in the playoffs.
I think most people would agree with me and say the only team in that, and it kind of scares me because that probably means they have no chance, would be the Rams, right?
Yep.
Just because they've gotten there. So I think everybody would pick the Rams. So that tells me the Rams have no chance either. Really, none of those teams have no chance.
Yeah, I think the only other team you'd even like kind of think about is the Seahawks, but they haven't been nearly consistent enough.
I like them coming into the year. They're cooked, though. Played well last night.
They might make the playoffs, but they ain't going to beat the Niners, the Cowboys, or the Eagles.
And that's the thing. Like, if you could say yes to like that Dallas, Philly, I guess Detroit tier, because they're a tier, and then the San Fran. So it's either nobody or that tier.
Right. All right. Let's move on to the AFC here. This is a little bit friskier, to say the least. So, all right, Baltimore, Super Bowl bubble or no?
Yeah.
I think that's fair, right? Their defense has been so damn good. They still got Lamar. They're still doing stuff on offense. The Dolphins, you obviously kind of said already, yes.
Yes.
And the Chiefs, I would assume you're going to keep them there just out of
yes.
History?
Have to.
Even if they don't deserve it?
You have to.
What's your level of concern on the Chiefs?
I don't think they're a great team. I think they're Kelce's... he's on the down spiral right now, and that's really being exposed because he might not be that alpha offensive target that he was in the past few years. And I think everybody knows at this point they got nobody after him. So unless they could run the ball effectively, where they're good is they have Mahomes obviously still, and they have maybe the best defense they've had under Mahomes. So that's going to give them a fighter's punch. If they get the bye, they're right there. That's going to be big for them because they're always tough to beat at home, but they're beatable on the road. So if they got to play a road game, they're on upset alert.
And right now they're two games out of the bye, but obviously looking great in the division. So maybe one home playoff game for them might be the max. All right, Browns, Jaguars, Bengals, any of those teams in the bubble for you?
Nope.
No.
I would like the Browns would be fresh because Flacco would be – that would be legendary if Joe Flacco could come off the couch after getting cut for Tim Boyle and Trevor Siemian. To come back and play, so that would be like an all time story. But no, they don't have a chance.
That'd be hysterical. Jaguars are probably just outside the bubble. Bengals, it's like Browning. Are
Unless they really going to make that noise? I saw there's a cool chart that I don't know how much you were on Twitter. A lot of these like NFL sharp guys, they put up these charts like best quarterbacks versus man and zone, and Jake Browning was like one of the. Obviously, it's a small sample size. But he's been like one of the best quarterbacks for his man and zone so far. So he might actually be good.
And we'll see if Jamar Chase's health stays up.
Yeah, Chase is banged up. They're not a to make a long story short, no.
Okay. Final ones here. Colts, Texans, Bills, Steelers, Broncos.
Yeah, the Bills, obviously, if they get in, they're dangerous. But like we mentioned before, everybody would be on him, so I don't like him. And I said Houston to me, if Stroud's healthy, why can't they be the Bengals from 2 years ago in a wide open AFC? So I'll say the Bengals.
Yeah. I think if the and he might be out apparently for the second straight week with the concussion. So we'll see if his health gets right. Concussion
is something that's obviously not, hopefully not going to be something that's bothering him still in long a month. Term.
Yeah. All right. Mike_Dodino on Twitter. Mike_Dodino on TikTok. Let's talk Giants really quick here. You had a little bit of a close seat here for some of the Tommy DeVito madness. I know you were in house for that Packers game on Monday night. I don't even know what to ask you about the Giants because obviously we're not going to trick ourselves into saying they're a playoff contender anymore. That ship has sailed. What did you kind of just take in from the Giants season overall and where they are right now? Is there any positives to draw moving forward for the Giants, or should Giants fans still just be with the drawing board up on their wall, trying to figure out what the hell the next move is.
If you're a Giants fan, there can't be one thing that you're happy about right now. The Tommy DeVito story is cute. It's fun. I'm rooting for him. It's fun to do that. He's a cool guy. He's an Italiano. It's like, as long, I don't know where you're from Long. I think you're from Staten Island. Like, it's cool to see like a Jersey kid, Italian kid, guy actually like put on a little Linsanity type run. So it's been cute, but it's going to push him out of drafting a quarterback if they wanted one, if you want me to be negative Nancy. And if you look at their roster's one of the worst NFL rosters like, comparatively to other teams. Like, that's not a team that's going to compete. They're nowhere near competing. They're going to probably lose Saquon. You still have a massive question at quarterback. Still have a bunch of questions on the offensive line. You still have a, at the best, an average defense. You don't have a receiver. What do you have? What do you have?
Wondell Robinson, who's a glorified
next year.
Who? Wondell's a glorified two.
Yeah.
And Hyatt, we'll see. Like, I have faith in Hyatt, but not to be like
a
superstar one. I am.
You guys are cooked.
Cooked. And you know what? It sucks because they did classic Giants stuff. They had a chance to be a top three pick in the NFL draft if they continued to just play bad football. And they come out here and they play good football for 3 weeks in a row for no reason. Well, you shouldn't even say they played good football. They played decent football for 3 weeks in a row. The best game was against the Packers. They still could have lost that game. They almost tried to. And now they have 5 wins. They're probably going to mess around and get 6 wins for no reason. Draft 8th overall, and they're going to grab an O-lineman who's a 50-50 shot at being a real player. And they're going to be right where they were, and they're going to have the same conversation next year about Daniel Jones versus Tommy DeVito, who should be the franchise guy. A bunch of old Italian guys on the fan are going to call in and say, hey, this Tommy DeVito guy, I like the cut of his jib. No, he's not a true franchise guy. Neither is Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones, at this point in his career, I know he's hurt right now, he hasn't thrown enough touchdowns to be considered a franchise quarterback. And I hate to cut it down to simple statistics, but there comes a point in time where your quarterback needs to be able to put some freaking points on the board. And for 4 years now, the Giants have been inconsistent just putting points on the board. And it's large in part because Daniel Jones is an average quarterback at best.
Yeah, I mean, I was never high on Jones. One of my buddies I work with at WABC, big Giants fan, I was busting his balls before the year started, after a few weeks. Was never a Daniel Jones fan. To me, Daniel Jones, listen, is he a franchise? He's not a franchise. Could he be a quarterback that wins games? Maybe. If you put him in the absolute best situation in a really good, you put him on San Fran, maybe he could win some games.
He's the MVP. He's the MVP on the Niners. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, even if you watch him play this year, like, just how quick he goes to his legs, he just does it, and he's just not going to be, unless he wants to be Josh Allen. But he's going to get hurt. It's just he's not one of those guys that's going to be able to rely on his legs. I don't think he has the – I don't think he's just got what it takes, really.
He's not him. The only saving grace for the Giants fans is they got the youngest defense in the league right now, and the defense has been decent. So I think
what's nice for you guys is Thibodeau foundation. Looks like he might be a hit. And if you have him and you got some other guys, you got D-Lake, you got Dexter still. They ended up making a good deal getting Lawrence out for the second round pick. If they could hit on it, their defense is what's scary. It's the best part of their future, which is an average defense.
Right. How was it standing like 2 feet from Thibodeau? Was he like a monster of a human being?
Yeah, he's a cool guy, honestly. I want to actually have another conversation and be like, hey man, I was like the dude kept calling him Tom. I don't even know if he remembers, but I want to be like, I was the guy that called him Tom. I wonder if it registered in his brain that I was calling him, because he even said it in the video. It's funny. But
yeah, it is funny.
I really can't stop calling him Danny DeVito. Now I'm good with it because of what happened. Now I call him Tommy. But like for a week straight, I couldn't stop calling him Danny.
It's so funny. It happened multiple times. And then his, I think, was it his cousin or something who was making all the chicken cutlets at the tailgate was actually named Danny DeVito.
That whole story has been cool, though. This guy's like the most popular guy as a guy that's on social media all the time. Like, you post a video about Tommy DeVito, it's probably going to do like he's 1-1 on social media right now. Probably for the NFL. Yeah. So good for him, man. Just a regular guy, seems like. So I hope.
And I think he made himself a living, right? Like, I think he's at minimum a backup quarterback.
He's always going to be like a household name now for the next 3-4 years. Even if he's holding the clipboard for the next few years, he's always going to be a household name. And he definitely bought himself a backup job. I mean, he'd be the backup on the GP starting for the Jets right now.
Facts. He might have the Jets in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, he'd be starting for a few teams right now. So I think he's shown that he I mean, granted, they beat who? Washington, New England, and Green Bay.
Yeah, nothing crazy.
Pump the brakes, but the team has looked better with him than any other quarterback.
Yeah. All right, are you a Jets fan? Or are you?
I'm honestly not. I don't really root for either team. I'm just I'm a fantasy guy, a gambling guy, and just kind of – it's funny because I don't have a team, but I'm a huge NFL fan.
Right, which is a great place to be, honestly.
I kind of like it.
You follow your favorite players. Like, I am equal parts NFL fan to Giants fan, if that makes sense. Like, in the NBA, I'm a Knicks fan and an NBA fan. I'm a Mets fan, and I kind of care about the MLB. But in the NFL, like, I care about the NFL as much as I care about the Giants. Like, I can't say that about other sports.
I wish I had that fanhood in football. Seems like it'd be fun. Because you guys...
It's not. Jets are, not as a Giants fan.
It's not, but you guys really live and die by that stuff, man. I love it. I mean, like... Yeah, I was saying, like, even my family, they're big Jet fans. Like, you're distraught after a Sunday loss, man. And, like, brutal. After this year, or especially as we go to the Jets, what everything that happened to them this year, poor Jet fans too, man.
I want to ask you about Aaron Rodgers. What is it? What is the read here? Is it ridiculous that he's trying to play? Is it just
he was never going to really probably play? He just left the door open. If they were in it, he was going to try to come back. You could say whatever he wants, that he loves being in the spotlight. But at the end of the day, if they were competitive and he had a chance to play, he would have played, I think. And why would he play now? Obviously, no chance he's going to play. Makes no sense. He's not going to play. That's put to bed. And I think, you know, people will complain, of course, he's not blow up. If they were in it, I bet you he'd play.
Right.
If this was like a win or go home type of game and Rodgers was cleared, I think he'd play.
Yeah, and what he might try to play anyway.
No, he's not. In reality, it's over. He was on McAfee today. He pretty much shut the door.
He said it? Okay, good.
He didn't, like, I'm pretty sure he said it's over.
If you're, like, Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, and Aaron Rodgers is like, nah, I'm ready, I'm playing, how do you say no to him?
Say sorry. This is a decision we have to make. Our jobs are on the line. Our kids' meals are on, like... It's about
and all seven kids of Robert Saleh.
Like, we can't play you. Funny enough, though, I do a weekly podcast with Andrew Giuliani, obviously Rudy's son. And he's cool with Saleh. He says, great guy, man. Because they golf a little bit together, he said, great guy. He says all good things about him. Saleh seems like, I know he gets a lot of heat, but it seems like he's a good dude.
I mean, I like him, and it looks like his defense likes him, too, because they're still playing pretty hard. Obviously, they got beat up pretty good this week. But so with the Jets, what do they do moving forward?
They're another team, Rodgers man.
Is good, and you what told are they me, doing?
I said like 5-6 weeks ago, if you put him on that team, they'd be like, everyone wants to say they'd be a Super Bowl contender, but like playing devil's advocate to myself, they're the worst team in the NFL right now. If not the worst team in the NFL, sure, they beat Houston. They're like a bottom five team in the NFL. This is just Aaron Rodgers makes you a Super Bowl contender. You just put him in there, and then you go to being a Super Bowl contender. I don't know. You look at Joe Flacco starting, you could argue even better than Deshaun Watson. Like, it has a lot, NFL has a lot to do with the scheme, and the Jets just might have a really bad scheme.
Yeah. If you think about it, like Aaron Rodgers above replacement, their 5-win team right now, are they an 8-win team with Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, possibly, but then they're still probably lower totem pole. They're still fighting for a playoff spot. They're not guaranteed anything. So I think, yes, he makes them more competitive, but
sure,
to say that he makes them a Super Bowl contender is crazy.
I don't think they're far away, though.
Right.
They're
one more offensive lineman. You know,
really, at the end of the day, they're an offensive line away. A few guys, a healthy offensive line, plus a draft pick, maybe an FA signing away. Because they do have a great defense, like you mentioned, a great defense, top three. Yeah. And you have two great skill weapons. So I think they're going to get Devontae Adams too.
Oh, that'd be lit. I'd love to see him in New York.
That's even also though it's not for my team. Predictions. And I was really high on it. I really feel confident that the Jets are going to get Devontae Adams. It makes no sense for the Raiders to keep him. They're going nowhere. They're rebuilding. They got their coach now that they like, I think. And there's no point for them to have Devontae Adams. And if you're Devontae Adams, you want to go play with Aaron Rodgers again. And the Jets are going to make that happen because they're all in already. So they're going to get Adams next year. Mark my words, that's going to happen.
That would be extremely exciting for New York football in general. Almost as exciting as Tommy DeVito throwing cutlets around the
mountain. Almost.
All right, Mike DeDino, last thing before we go, I just want to hit rapid fire quickly on some baseball stuff. Maybe we'll throw out some Knicks stuff quickly as well. So now the big story here in New York, after Soto is traded to the Yankees, Shohei signs with the Dodgers, it's all about Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Almost got that right. Yamamoto. There we go. The Mets are in contention. The Yankees are in contention. Obviously, the Dodgers, Red Sox, Giants all still in contention. What is your read on this situation? Do you think you have an idea of where he might go? And where do you think, if it's going to be in New York, do you have a lean on which team it'll be?
I've been following this one pretty closely. It's tough. I don't have any inside information, obviously, so I'm just one of those guys refreshing my Twitter page and looking at what some of the big dogs are reporting on, and it seems like right now it's down to Mets, Yankees, and Dodgers. It sucks because as a Mets fan, I'm going to be pissed off if he goes to the Yankees or pissed off. If he goes to the Dodgers, then baseball is a big problem if he goes to the Dodgers because that whole Shohei Ohtani contract stuff is another story for another day, but that is terrible for the sport. That should not be allowed to happen. It almost seems like it's like, I don't know how it's even legal. And now they're going to get Yamamoto and go, I don't, that's so bad for the sport. I don't have it happens and I don't want him to go to the Yankees, but I think the Yankees are going to pay him a bag. And I think he's going to be one of those guys that likes the history and likes the modern, as somebody that's went to Yankee Stadium and someone that's went to Citi Field a bunch of times and covered games. Honestly, there is an aura when you're at Yankees. There's just, that feels different when you're at Yankee Stadium. I can attest to it as a Met fan, just being on that field and under the tunnel, it's just a different atmosphere there, man. And I think he's going to like that. And I think they're going to pay him a ton of money. And I think he's going to go there.
It would piss me off so bad too.
I didn't think he was going to go there at first. I didn't think it made sense for the Yankees to drop might be $300 million on him, because then I think you're out with Soto, but you got to win this year. And I think that's what they want to do.
And they haven't been the team to go all in recently. I think it's funny to me, and as a Mets fan, obviously I'm a little bit biased, a little bit trying to, poke fun at my Yankee fans' friends. But for 3, 4, 5 years now, Yankee fans have done nothing but complain about how their team is not acting like a big market team.
Yeah.
They're not all in to win the championship. Brian Cashman needs to be fired, this and that, and this and that. And now you trade for Juan Soto, and all of a sudden you think Cashman's going to empty out the pockets and pay $300 million for a guy who's never pitched an inning in the MLB. It's possible, but it goes against everything that I've heard a Yankee fan say for 3 to 5 years. So it pisses me off that you trade for Soto and now Yankee fans are like, well, yeah, obviously he's going to pick the Yankees over the Mets because we're an elite franchise and you guys are a poverty franchise. What are we talking about here? 1 year ago, we're talking about how Uncle Steve's going to pay everybody a boatload of money and maybe that changed a little bit. But let's not act like he wouldn't try to go get a guy like this because he seems like he could be that good. So, yeah, I got my guard up. I'm nervous about this whole situation, but my gut's telling me I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I think you are. And just as a Met fan, it's fun because we used to be able to bring that argument. The Yankees, they just buy their champion. I was always a big, the Yankees just spend more money, blah, blah, blah. But after we did it and fell on our faces, man, Steve Cohen has been embarrassing so far. And I don't know if – I think he might be afraid to go $300 million on this kid. Because they're still not – they're not going to compete. They still got Pete. What are they going to let Pete walk?
And I think he feels burned a little bit by the spending from last year, that he's going to be more cautious, more measured approach, which is probably the right thing to do.
I don't think the Mets make sense to pay this kid $250 million. I don't think it makes sense. I mean, unless he's a game-changing ace, which it seems like he might be. And that's the case I could be convinced. But it seems like the Mets, at least when they traded Scherzer and Verlander, they kind of said, we want to go into rebuild mode here. And I think that's what they're going to do. I'm going to grab my charger real quick before this dies.
Okay. So while you do that, I'm going to preface our final question here before we go. And just as somebody, because we're about to finish up here, just as somebody who's as tapped into the New York market as you are and tapped into social media as you are, I have a question about the Knicks. Where do you feel like Julius Randle is at currently with the greater New York fanhood? Do you think that he is being appreciated and loved? Do you think he's still catching hate? Where is Julius Randle kind of sitting to you in the social media world, the New York fanhood world at this point in time?
Well, I'm actually going to deflect this question back to you because I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm some big basketball fan that's been watching a ton of Knicks games this year. I'm not going to sit here and lie and make up some scream and shout about Randle when I don't
know. Right.
But from what I watch when you see on social media, it seems like the general consensus around Randle is he's not appreciated. I don't think he's a guy that's watching enough basketball, enough of Randle. He's not a great player. He's a very good player. He was a guy that was a lottery pick 10 years ago, and he's made himself a nice career in the NBA. If you remember in the Lakers, he was a guy that wasn't even playing that much. He was like a six man off the bench type of guy. And he carved himself a nice role out for the Knicks, and he ended up becoming an alpha for them, or a a top two guy for them, and I think that's what he is. He's like a second on a good team. He's your third best guy. If he's your second best guy, you're going nowhere. And I think for that, the fans expect him to be a one. He's just not that type of guy.
Mm. And that's why I asked the question in that manner, because I know you're not like as locked into the Knicks as you are other stuff. Because to me, it's a weird thing. It's like when you have a star in a team, what you want from him is consistency, you know, high energy, good effort, etc. And what we complain about with NBA stars is that they don't play enough. They don't try hard enough. And all he does is play 38 minutes a game, 78 games a year, averaging all-star level numbers. And it seems like Knicks fans still hate him. Now, I am the first person to criticize him when I feel like he comes up short. But overall, I have like this deep down appreciation for him for what he does night in, night out. And maybe that's me being a little bit of a fanboy, but I feel like you can't take that for granted when you have stars all across the league asking for trades, sitting 15 to 25 games a year for rest, and Randall's playing the most minutes in the league, just grinding every night, even if his decision-making comes up short and causes some losses here and there.
Well, my argument, I mean, sure, that's all nice and stuff, right? He plays every night. He gives you 38 minutes a night. That's all nice. Is that when you championship, though? Is he a guy that you could build a championship around? And I think the answer to that is probably no. And I think at the end of the day, that's tough on him. It might be tough on him because he has put up all-star level numbers, but I don't think he's a guy that's going to win it. Kind of comes back to my whole philosophy with Melo, but another right. story for another day.
Now it's very similar. Melo also played 80 games every year.
And now like he's not on Melo's level, but Randall to me is like a poor man's Melo.
Right. Is a walking playoff berth was Carmelo Anthony, but he was by no means a walking title contender.
Your team like was just only a title contender. He doesn't make his teammates better. I don't think he really makes your. He's a guy that's going to go out there and fill up the stat sheet, but I don't know if he really necessarily makes your team better.
That's what frustrates me with him is like you'll see him in the first half. Where it's like, oh, he's got 5 assists and 16 points. Like, what a guy. He's making the right play, passing the ball. And then the second half, the offense slows down for 2 seconds. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, I got to do this myself. I'm going to score, score, score. And the teammates don't get better. And that's why Brunson has been more generally beloved by Knicks fans, I think, because he plays the game the absolute right way, makes the right plays all the time, and has that little extra consistency to his scoring punch.
Well, if you had to, like, let's just say, I think this is a good way to go. If you had to, like, give them a rating, like, if you like an NBA 2K rating and rate both of them, obviously from 1 to 100, what would you rate both of them?
And this is me not playing the new 2K, so I don't know where they're rated at right now.
If you had to just, like, give them an overall rating out of 100, what would you give Randall and Brunson?
I think that Brunson would be probably like a 90 and Randall would be like an 86.
Okay. So like they're fairly close for you, but Brunson's a little better. Yeah, I think that's fair. I'd probably agree. I'd probably bump them both down like 2 points, so.
And that's probably fair. And I think what's tough too with Brunson is like, oh, all of a sudden he's become like this point guard across the league who's a real guy. And then you look around the league and guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Tyrese Haliburton, who are 3-4 years younger than him, are just zooming past him in the point guard rankings. De'Aaron Fox, same thing. Like, oh, Brunson's a top five guy. Like, oh, actually, let's think about this. You got Stephen Curry, you got Shai, Haliburton, Fox, Dame Willard.
Is he even a top 10 guy?
For point guards?
Yeah.
For point guards, yes, he's a top 10 guy. But he's not a top five guy.
Well, I'm interested now. I'm going to ask you, who would you rather have? And then we could go after this. This could make for a good let's clip. I mean, would you rather have Drew Holiday or Brunson?
In a setting where they're the main guy on a team, I would take Jalen Brunson. Okay. As a secondary piece, I'd take Holiday for the defense. But as a main guy, you got to take Brunson for the scoring and the offense.
Does Tyrese Maxey count a point guard?
Yes.
Tyrese Maxey.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Maxey's been really good. I would give a slight lean to Brunson just because he's done it as the main guy.
I think you're going to catch heat for that
full
one.
Year. I think I might catch heat for that, but if you ask me this again at the end of the year after Tyrese Maxey's the main guy in a playoff run, that's a different conversation because Maxey's been fantastic in the regular season as the number one guard on the team, but he still has Joel Embiid on his side. And also he hasn't been really keened in on from a opponent's defensive standpoint. So in the playoffs, we've seen Brunson still put up crooked numbers against the Miami Heat and was it the Celtics? No, they went against the Cavaliers and the Miami Heat, put up really good, strong games, almost led them to a conference finals. If Maxey can do that, then I'd be happily putting Maxey above, but it's very close.
Trae Young.
I'll take Brunson right now, all day.
All day, wow.
LaMelo all day. Still give Brunson the nod for sure. LaMelo Ball has a higher talent threshold. But again, from a winning basketball perspective, and maybe it's a point to his team hasn't been good enough yet, it just hasn't constituted to wins yet for LaMelo. You still got to take Brunson.
Donovan Mitchell.
This one is tough. I think Mitchell is a really weird case because he's been the guy for so long already and continuously come up short. So you can make a really clear argument right now that they are exactly equal because their ceiling is a second round playoff. That's their ceiling, a second round playoff.
So who do you take?
I'd probably take Mitchell.
Okay.
Just the scoring punch is just that much better, but I do like the way Brunson plays better, but Mitchell's still better.
So Dame, I would assume, too?
Yeah. You know what? Here's a hot take for you. Ready for this one, Mike?
Are you going to really believe it, though? You really believe it? When you go to bed tonight, you really believe this?
I think you can argue, and I'm going to do it right now, that it's a similar thing to Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson. They are equal right now. Because Damian Lillard is a turnstile on defense. He does not play defense. His offensive output is off the charts. But what has Damian Lillard done as the best player on the team for the past 5 years? Mostly missed the playoffs. Jalen Brunson, at this point in time, is the best player on a team that looks like they're going to be a top four, top five seed in the Eastern Conference again. So to that point, I say Brunson could carry a team as well as Damian Lillard right now. Obviously, Damian Lillard's peak is way higher than what Brunson is right now. But 2023, you can make an argument they are on an equal playing field. I'd give the nod to Lillard just off history. Okay. But I think right now they're equal.
I like that. Fair.
Cop-out answer, but that's honest. That was honest. You kind of scared me a little bit if I can sleep tonight or not. So I had to be honest.
Yeah, no, because I had to make sure that you want to die with this one. You sure you want to get in the bed with this one?
I got to be up early tomorrow. I can't be not sleeping
exactly
tonight.
All right, so to make a long story short, you think that Jalen Brunson's the best point guard in the Eastern Conference?
No, I think Tyrese Halliburton's better than
him. Okay, yeah, Halliburton's better than him. And then
I think Halliburton.
So right now I think the only point guard you're definitively taking over Jalen Brunson in the East is Halliburton? Definitively, I'm talking here.
Definitively, yes. The only point guard I'm taking in the Eastern Conference over Jalen Brunson is Tyrese Halliburton, with Tyrese Maxey TBD and Damian Lillard maybe 3 years ago.
All right, fair.
There we go. All right, good stuff, Mike. This has been great.
Good stuff, man.
Love chopping it up with you one more time. Mike_Didino on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Mike_Didino on TikTok. Also 77WBC Sports. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Also see his stuff all over their social media. He's cooking up some great, great clips, some great podcasting over there. Mike, it's been a pleasure. Any last words for Subway Sports Talk?
It was fun. It flew by. I can't believe we did it for almost an hour. Down to do it more. It's always fun.
Absolutely, bro. Good talking to you. We will hopefully talk again soon. If I don't talk to you again, happy holidays. Enjoy your time. Enjoy your time off. Maybe if you get a couple days here and there, I know you're never off because you're always cooking up something over there for social and for WABC Sports. So good stuff.
But yeah, likewise, happy holidays. If we don't speak, I'm sure we will, but it was fun. Yeah. Let's do it again.
Well, I'll probably text you tomorrow, but other than that, to say it officially.
Perfect. All right, man.
Happy holidays. Perfect. Subway Sports Talk. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.